Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it. Good evening and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show episode 241. I am live in Los Angeles. It's been two and a half weeks since I last did the show, and the main reason is that I came here to the TSM house to help them finish the end of playoffs, and then I was working on other work in the meantime. But that other work has dried up. So now I'm just coaching TSM, and I'm going to start streaming again every single night if I can. It's probably not going to be the 7:30 time or the 6:30 time. The show might be like 8:30. But I think that I'll be able to do it every night. I'm stealing one of the guy's laptops, I think the team manager. And if I bother to go and set it up and get it choreographed every night, we can have a great show. Today we have three questions that are stemming from, let me see when he submitted these, beginning of August, 20 days ago. Sorry, everybody. Because we've delayed the show so much, I'm going to catch up on the questions. It should take about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. It should take about 1 week to catch up on the questions. So if you've submitted a question, it's on its way. Just keep tuning in for a week, and your question will come up for sure. And also, submit your new questions as well. Why don't we jump into the show? So for those of you who are unaware, my name is Weldon, and this is the Ask Weldon Show, where you submit questions about esport performance and esport psychology and performance psychology, and I answer them. Also League of Legends questions in general, since that's the game that I coach most. And you submit them on Anchor, anchor.fm/WeldonGreen, and then I will play them on the show, and I will answer them with my expertise as a professional esport coach, professional esport psychology trainer, a sports scientist, essentially. Are there any other big announcements? Oh, well, we went 4-0 at the end of the split, so TSM is keeping me for playoffs, which is great. It's fun to be here, and we're just going to keep working with the guys on health and making sure that we can end the season in like a good on a good high note, whether that means finishing the split off and just returning to everybody's homes and being like in a healthy mindset about it, or whether that means finishing the split off as champions and going to Worlds. That'll kind of be up to how good we are at League of Legends. And then the rest, in terms of the like anxiety level and stress surrounding the performance, that'll be up to me to try to iterate. So that's kind of my goal over the next few weeks. And in the meanwhile, hopefully this show can start kicking off again every single night. I'm also going to be doing a little series of strategy videos, because I am going to get back into the analytics side of strategy, as well as probably playing a few games, but my North American account is a really low rank, and I'm not going to transfer my European account over here. So, yeah, that's that. If you want to play some low-ranked normal games with me, hit me up on my Discord, which you will find below the show. All right, why don't we jump into the first question, everybody? All right, the first question is from Jerome, I believe. Let me double check that. Yeah, here we go.
My name is Jerome. I'm actually studying in a video game development program, and the specialty is a level game design. And the thing is that I love playing video games, which is not accepted by the family as a professional career path, but they accept the idea of making game as a professional career path. And the thing is, sometimes you talk about making a choice between what is the most important thing you're going to spend all your energy and something else you're going to spend energy on, but less. And the thing is, how can a game developer good balance between the fact of play of actually loving the game by playing them and making them. I think I like more side of
Jerome. Thank you very balancing much for the question.
Them than actually the fact of was, making what, them. What do I like tackle? Both.
How do I balance between pursuing this this idea that I might really like making games and this idea that I might really like playing and balancing games, or maybe even producing content around games, entertainment, maybe pro, that kind of side. So my big question is, why do you need to balance them and why can't you do both? I think that a lot of times what you're trying to do is you're trying to choose between like two sets of courses, right? So just do both. Take one set of courses and then take the other set of courses. I think a lot of times you might think about like, okay, well, I have to build my career in this way or that way. Well, why not do both? Take a career as a playtester and at the same time keep building games for yourself, or take a career as a, like, start your career as a game builder and at the same time, you know, make sure you're always in the testing department and you're always like doing tests and you're always kind of like playing the game constantly in your free time. I think that if you're in college, if you're out of high school, if you're in that phase of your life, it's incredibly possible, if you don't have kids essentially, it's very possible to do both of those things that you just mentioned at the same time, along with eating well and working out and staying healthy generally. Like, I don't see any reason that you can't do both of those things. So I would recommend, considering that you can't know the answer until you actually try it, try not to find out the answer beforehand and just do both for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And it will not set you back at all in terms of other things that you might want to pursue in your life. In fact, it'll probably speed you up, because then you'll know which of the one of those you want to do more effectively. So yeah, there's no choice there. You're trying to choose between two things you don't need to. Just do them both. All right, next question. This one's from Nixus.
Hey Warden, I've come to the realization that I'm a perfectionist and it's getting in the way of my training. I usually find that the ruminating thoughts get in the way and distract me from being mindful. Have you got any advice for me? Thank you in advance.
High levels of achievement, and at the same time, it can cut you down, prevent you from ever starting anything. And once you, and for those people that it does work with at the high level, they can burn out or fail or have epic, catastrophic career-ending like moments. So perfectionism, I like to think of it, of course, there's like a, you could say that there's like a transcendent philosophical religious kind of view beyond perfectionism, where you're just kind of very like comfortable with who and what you are, and you're moving forward in a very linear progressive way with your life and maybe serving others, that kind of thing. And I think that that's a beautiful kind of endpoint, but I know a lot of people are still trying to think of how to hedge their ambition so that the perfectionism isn't profound, but they still feel that urge to like accomplish something, and they don't want the drawdown of perfectionism to decrease their ambition and prevent them from accomplishing something cool. So I understand that. And I have, in fact, myself seen the danger signs where people are, for example, pursuing a hobby for the last 5 years from the time that they were 15 to 20, and they want to fix their perfectionism around it. So we work on it, and we realize that underneath all of that perfectionism, there is no actual desire. There is no ambition towards that thing or that hobby, that it was just driven by the situation that person was in life, by their family context, by their sport context, by the trying to impress somebody at school, trying to impress themselves, trying to forge their identity. And actually, there was nothing there that they really wanted. And they have to go pursue something else in order to actually find themselves and achieve. So it can be very dangerous to like pull that out from you if you don't have already an identity of something else that you're pursuing, or you don't have somewhere you're going, or you don't have the capability to manifest that in terms of like freedom and money and free time and access to hobbies, etc. The ability to explore many different things and many different options. So I really understand that kind of like fear. So I have two solutions when I work with people around this. First is, we work on trimming off the unhealthy parts of perfectionism, but like kind of leaving the lifestyle pursuit there, the hobby, even if there's nothing tied to it except like the desire to achieve something in that space. And the way that we do that is by making sure that you have a growth mindset towards things instead of like a failure-based mindset. And then we work on being vulnerable with other people and with yourself. And the way that you can do that is, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different answers to this, so I don't really know what the most common one is. But essentially, in really like difficult situations, when your emotions are telling you to back away from the conflict or the failure point, it's about like disciplining yourself to try, even though you're going to fail and look like a goon in front of people, or to confront somebody, even though confront somebody, like, you know, with your authentic feelings, even though it might hurt you or your pride or your guilt or hurt them. And then also like making sure that you have like a really, really good social support network around you that you can talk about things in a transparent way and get feedback from, and be told like when you need to go for something and when you don't need to go for something. So that's kind of like how we hedge perfectionism. And then the way that we drill it down is just by career planning, kind of like asking like, well, what do you really want out of this thing? And what are you really pursuing? And why do you feel the need to accomplish something in front of other people as a way of defining who you are? And can we tackle that? Like a base, I want to say that like base craving that is malfunctioning in a way and driving you into these kinds of behaviors where you're seeking adoration or fame as a way of giving yourself that daily stimulus of dopamine. So yeah, so there's like a slippery slope there, Nyxis, of like solving your perfectionism at the same time that you're making sure that you don't undercut your own identity in a way that might hamper your life in the short term. And I think that actually could be one of the side effects of therapy around perfectionism, is that if you do something in a way about it too drastically or too soon, you know, it can actually like uproot your life a little bit. Or it will uproot your life in a good way in the long term, but in the short term might be like something you have to plan for. So think about that. Think about running away to become a Buddhist, to master perfectionism, and what that will mean towards erasing everything that you thought that you wanted, that really you just wanted because you wanted to satiate that crisis. And then also think about maybe just kind of like having healthier behaviors around perfectionism on the way towards that while you're still doing the things that you love. You think that you love? Scary. Okay, thanks for the question. It's something that is inherent in every single person that I work with, and to some degree or another. And I often think of it as a double-edged sword because it seems like it is something that has driven most elite performers to the elite level that they're at. So it's kind of hard for me as an elite performance psychologist to say, or psychology trainer to say, like, oh, this is an evil, horrible thing, when it's causing this kind of level of manifestation of skill. But I think that there's definitely a right way and a wrong way to do it, if that makes sense. All right, this last question is from Louis.
Hey Walden, I have been playing LoL for 9 years, over 10,000 hours, and I'm still at a loss as to what I want to do as a job in the scene. My dream job would be working with a professional team at any capacity, but I have options open. For being a player, I hit Master Series season and can continue to improve. Also being a part of staff, as an analyst, coach, or other jobs such as esports coordinator. Every time I think about being an analyst or coach, etc., and try to work towards it, as I have in the past 3 years, I hit a new peak in League of Legends and always question myself, can I be the next MLCS player? The idea of being a player just sounds amazing to me, but when do I call it quits so I will not be the next double lift? Currently, I'm in graduate school and plan to focus on only school plus the LoL for the next year, but I start a complete loss. Your thoughts and guidance are much appreciated.
Such as, you know, your social situation, your relationship situation, your age, your career prospects now and later. For some people, it's possible to pursue the dream a little bit longer. For some people, it's smarter not to. And so I would say, like, if you're continuing to rank up and you are in that, you know, diamond level and you know that you can get to Challenger, Make sure that you do it in a way that you prove to yourself that you're actually capable of. So what I mean is you increase the quality of your playtime and not the quantity. If you are able to keep ranking up off of your brain and your smarts and your training efficacy, meaning that you are able to train in 4 hours the kind of skills that you need to actually rank up, 4 hours a day, not 4 hours a week, then you can say, okay, I've proven to myself, you know, over this month that I am training smartly, not based on volume. And I think that, like, that is a good way to hedge your growth, as long as, and if you can't rank up on that, then you need to twist the knobs. You need to be like, okay, what could I do to more effectively train? Maybe I can get lessons. Maybe I can get a better model of who I'm copying that's a higher level. Maybe I can get a coach to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I can train with a better mindset. Maybe I can improve my nutrition, fitness, something. Maybe I can train at a different time of the day. Maybe I can book it all together. Maybe I can, like, separate the games, have a lot of study time in between. Whatever it is you can do, find a way to, like, hack that system instead of just increasing the volume of training. And as long as you're able to keep improving off of the same regimented regime of training without going crazy on volume, then I would say that you can still go pro. Right? Because what happens is you get to that peak level by one tricking, essentially, by training less. And then you get to learn from the people that are there. And then you know that if you get signed to an amateur or a pro team and you go from training 4 hours a day to training 8, 10, 12 hours a day, that your skill is going to shoot through the roof, right? Because what you were working on was learning. You were working on your systems of learning. And so those are the things that you need to be honing constantly. And if you're improving those in league, they transfer to the next game and to studies and to life and to relationships. There's all this transferable knowledge that you're building. So for in that way, I see it kind of as like you're not wasting your time. And so I think then you don't necessarily have to give it up, because it's kind of just like a hobby that you're using to better yourself. And if you happen to go pro in the meanwhile, A plus, right? Thumbs up. So that's what I would recommend. I would recommend taking it as a very serious hobby and using it as a way of exercising and building your expertise in learning and in motor learning and in training yourself and in being coached, etc. And as long as you're able to, like, keep the dial on the volume and increase the intensity and keep progressing that way, then you are in the clear to keep trying. All right, guys, that's the show for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure to check out two things. The first thing is the MAC program, mindgames.gg/MAC. This is my training program. It's 50 online videos that take you through an acceptance commitment style mindfulness-based performance enhancement program. And it's turning into an app, which is going to be released in the next month or two. It's very close to being finished. And of course, if you have access to the program now, you will just get ushered right into the beta test for that app when it gets launched. And probably also have permanent access to it, even though it's moving to a subscription model. So that is something you should check out if you're interested in the kind of work that I do with pro teams, because it's basically just a compressed series of workshops from what I do with pro teams. And so, for example, this is the same exact program I did with CLG, the 9 weeks in between the splits in 2015, as we built into the 2015 summer season where we won CLG's, you know, mega championship at Madison Square Garden. This was the program that we did that with. So check it out, mindgames.gg/MAC. Use the code AskWeldon to get your discount. The second thing you should check out is my Patreon, patreon.com/mindgamesweldon, because that is what I'm going to be using now, as of today, again. Essentially, I'm using the lens in there to make kind of like a paid Snapchat story, Instagram story account, because I was doing Instagram and Snapchat stories, but I just don't have the time on this trip or in my life, really, since I have 4 children, to like manage all of those stories publications. So I've just decided I'm going to do like one story, and it's going to come more or less through Patreon. And of course, as well as like, other benefits, like you get into the VIP chat in my Discord, and I'm going to be publishing articles there eventually and things like that in terms of like a small little newsletter. So make sure to check that out if you want to support what I do, if you want to help pay for the long-term boot camps that I do, the Ask Weldon show that I produce, the podcasts that go out, etc. They have their costs. patreon.com/mindgameswalden, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgameswalden every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.